Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can all go to every week when it's movie night. On days like today, when the store is quiet, I get to watch movies and series and talk about them with my friends that work here. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop. Did you see the thing yesterday on the TV? How's it, guys?
Yeah, how's it?
My motivated labor force. How are you guys? We've got Perrin today.
How's it, guys? How are you? I'm good.
I'm so glad that we have you to interact with customers.
Yeah, I just melt. I become a ball of sweat when people approach me.
How's it, Perrin?
I'm good, man.
This is your second week at the video store.
Yeah, it's great, man.
Are you fitting in?
I'm fitting in, man.
Are you digging it?
Got my buddy Cole here. Got my buddy Russ here.
Yeah.
Loving it.
Man. How are you, Cole?
I'm fine. I'm fantastic.
Hey.
Having a great day at the video store. Just did all the cleaning, so ready to get the day started and put on my customer face, which is different to my boss man face.
We last week had the opportunity to watch The Fall Guy. We all sort of watched it at the same time.
In different places.
Yeah,
in different places, which is lovely. I was able to watch it last week, Tuesday, which is a special screening that the distributors have for media, so that you can get an advanced chance to write about it. For me, I'm using it as a chance to check whether or not, whether it's the right movie for the Bioscope.
Yeah.
I have seen it coming months away and really hoped and wished the best for it, because it just looked so good and fun. I've never wanted people to think of the Bioscope as being solely an art house, quite serious space. I want it to be fun. You know, we do quote-alongs and sing-alongs and dress-ups, and a movie like this, in however many years' time, would be a film we would do as a date night.
Yeah.
You know, because it actually is this date night film. So anyway, I watched it and was so happy that it was good.
Yeah, for sure. No, too,
and so we then got this chance as the Bioscope to host a special advanced screening on Thursday night for public to attend. And when we got given that opportunity, it was a bit last minute. But because it was the special treat, we thought we were going to we should make it a video store presents night, where as the video store, we kind of take over. And we host the screening at the Bioscope, and it was a great success. So thank you for everyone who came.
Yeah,
Cole was there.
Yeah, I was there,
and that was your chance to then watch the movie.
Yeah,
Perrin, you were at
IMAX.
Where? Mall of Africa.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fun.
Lovely. So let's talk about it.
Yeah.
How great? How lovable?
It's so lovable. It's a great rom-com, you know? It's like a great, it's a rom-com with like lots of cool action thrown in. And I mean, I love Daddy Gosling. Oh my God.
Daddy Gosling.
Yeah. Oh, Ryan Gosling is one of my all-time movie crushes.
Yes.
Like, I've loved him.
So is that why you call him Daddy Gosling?
Yeah, I mean, and he's an actual daddy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
No, totally.
I'm creeping out, and I'm sorry that people are weirded out.
What I could see coming months away and why I was so excited was the fact that it was Funny Gosling.
Yeah, Funny Gosling is so underrated as a comedic performer.
Yeah.
Like, he's getting his dues now in terms of comedy acting because of Barbie, obviously.
But even as far back as, was it
The Nice Guys? That's exactly, when you see him in that, his timing is impeccable.
Because
he's so funny.
Because he's been the straight man.
Exactly, yeah.
That then him being funny and him just being a good actor makes it all the funnier. But I remember seeing articles of people that had done premieres or had seen these kind of early screenings of it. And the one that I loved the most was someone saying, it's actually a rom-com in disguise.
Yeah, 100%.
And when I heard that, then I was like, this is going to do so well at the Bioscope.
Yeah, exactly.
It's perfect for us because that means it's going to have heart. Because of a film like Bullet Train, which was the director's previous film, you could argue was perhaps a bit too convoluted, a bit too much action, too up its own kind of genre.
Yeah, yeah.
Own genre.
And it didn't have the secret sauce. You know, the secret sauce is often like a chemistry. Painful,
the chemistry,
yeah. A beautiful human story, mm. or just, you know, a lovable character. And in this case, the two secrets really were the fact that, as we said, it was this lovable romantic comedy and the chemistry was amazing, but also the fact that the director, David Leitch, used to be a stunt coordinator.
Mm.
So he has this love and passion and respect for the stunt community. And this shows, is a movie about a stuntman. Ryan Gosling, for those who don't know, plays a stuntman. Very early on, gets in this accident that puts him out, and he's now called back in. And the person directing this film is his crush, this woman that he had a relationship with. And then right at the start of the film, it's discovered that the main actor of this movie, which you could kind of liken to almost like a Tom Cruise-y kind of leading man, has gone missing. And he doesn't want his crush, who's now manning this big film for the first time, he doesn't want her film to fail. And so he's being roped in to help find the guy. There's so much more to it.
Yeah. There's so much more to it.
And I actually, without giving too much away, I love the fact that it actually wasn't an obvious twist.
It wasn't an obvious twist.
And so that made it smart. But at the core of it, it was all about the making of this movie.
Mm.
And so it's a homage. It's a lovely ode to the magic of movie making.
Yeah, exactly.
Done by a guy who knows and understands what it's really like to be on a film set, to really be a stunt guy, and that's what makes this such a lovable movie.
Yeah, 100%.
So the Fall Guy, it's in cinemas now, including the Bioscope. I really hope it works. It should work.
Mm. And if you're a Kiss fan, you have to come watch this.
Okay, so then, the soundtrack was amazing. And I saw in your Letterboxd review, Cole, you were like, what did you say?
I said any film that centers this entire score around a Kiss song has my vote. Yeah. Because they took I Was Made for Loving You and worked it into the orchestral soundtrack. So in more serious moments, you can hear the melody or the guitar line in trumpets. And then also there's this really somber, serious cover of I Was Made for Loving You that I've never heard before. And they have the original Kiss version. But that version was gorgeous. And it underpinned a really serious moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like almost a tearjerker, hilariously funny.
Yeah, there's like so many like... Gosling, like their chemistry is phenomenal, you know. And
unreal.
Emily Blunt is also just delightful in pretty much everything.
Yes.
But like Ryan Gosling, man, like even the scene, there's a scene where he's crying in the car listening to Taylor Swift.
I love
and
that.
And like he's like just like he's just so good. And I know like I'm like gushing over Ryan Gosling, but like
no, gush away.
The man is a proper movie star, man.
Absolutely.
He's got so much range. He can do anything, man. And he has fun. Like, that's what I love about the movies. You can see that everyone had genuine fun on it. Mm. And there were so many cool little, references to all their careers. Like, Winston Duke, the stunt coordinator. It was, like, little reference to Black Panther. Yeah. When he's, like, rallying all the other stunt guys.
That's true.
When he says, Ibambe, in Black Panther. Yeah. And then he says something lame.
Like, it's so cool.
Oh, and, like, the little nods to movies, like, getting the tomahawk from Last of the Mohicans.
Yes, there's a fun, like, the cool thing about the movie is it's, because I have a soft spot for movies about making movies.
Yeah.
And I love movies where people talk about movies as well. So like in this movie, there's cool, fun little moments where the stunt coordinator played by Winston Duke and Ryan Gosling, Winston Duke will say like words of wisdom to Ryan Gosling. And then like Ryan Gosling's like, oh, that's from Lost the Mohicans. And he's like, and they freak out. And
they've got a little in-joke that they'll quiz each other on these movie quotes in these moments.
It's such a fun movie. And like what I appreciate about the movie as well is the closing credits. Like, because staying for the credits is like not everyone does it, obviously. You know, like sometimes you do it because you like the music that's playing or you want to see your friend's name or...
We all did it for Marvel.
Yeah, exactly. Marvel effectively changed the way people watch credits because it was like, oh, will there be a post-credit scene? And the cool thing about this movie is that
monsters.
Yeah, like they monsters. You ruined cinema.
Yeah.
What I liked about the credits of the Fall Guys, they gave you incentive to really stay till the end. They showed you like a BTS of like all the crazy stunts they do.
That's lingo for behind the scenes.
Yeah, sorry. but like
No. Yeah, and you so saw cool. that like it looked like Ryan Gosling actually did some of the stuff. He obviously didn't do all of it because some of it was so crazy. But yeah, there was a stunt guy for the guy who was playing a stunt guy.
Yeah.
of an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and there was, you know, great someone man. Should also look out for little moments, not giving much away. But the movie that they're making is this big sci-fi.
Like corny.
But it's so funny. It's like cowboys. Yeah. Cowboys in space.
Metal Storm, I think it's called.
But just the cowboys storm. In space were so great. But, you know, the grading is graded like Dune 2.
Yeah.
It's this like deep orange grade.
Like a musical and then, cues to
and
it.
Then the musical cues are very similar. it's very smart. But
I absolutely want to watch a heavy metal space opera that's actually heavy metal.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole point.
Yeah, so the movie that they're making is a film called Metal Storm.
In the Metallica font.
Yeah. In the Metallica font, yeah.
And then the trailer uses the Iron Maiden fonts.
Yeah.
Or like, they're just bamboozling you.
Yeah. Oh,
so much fun.
What else? I've got a... Speaking of heartwarming, because this film was heartwarming. It was a comfy blanket, Fall Guy. Another one that I really loved... is a film that's been out on Netflix for a little while called Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
No, Are You There, God? It's... Yeah, it's Margaret.
Yeah.
Are You There, God? Yeah. It's Margaret.
Yeah, it's so
It's Me,
lovely.
Margaret, isn't it?
I think it's Are You There, God? It's Margaret.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Cole, so, roll it up.
it's lovable. It's a famous book.
Mm. It's Me.
It's Me, Margaret.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I stand corrected. I'm sorry.
And it's set in...
70s?
70s. Yeah. Which I think is perhaps when that book came out.
Yeah.
It was written by Judy Blume, who's like a very famous author for young female fiction.
Yeah.
And it's this real coming of age about a young girl sort of on the cusp of her sort of like womanhood.
Adolescence. Yeah, for sure.
And it's just what I loved so much about it is that like, you can make this argument that, you know, kids these days and society and how things are changing and how things are so radically different for a kid today, you know, a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
Because like my niece right now is this age. She's like 13, 14.
Yeah.
But then you watch this movie of a story set in the 70s and you're like, so much, well... never change.
Exactly.
It's timeless.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps the three of us males are not necessarily the right guys to talk about this, but, you know, it's the time of when, like, a girl gets her period for the first time.
Sure.
And it's like, that is significant in any generation, any era. It's huge. Like, I can understand that, that a woman's life is kind of never changed. We will never be the same again. And it's just lovely. Hey, you've seen it.
I loved it. It was one of my favorite movies of last year. And it's just so delightful because what I like about it, it's interesting that you say that, like, you know, we're three male guys. Like, there shouldn't be a lot for us to resonate with it.
Yeah, but so that's a good point.
It's so, like, relevant regardless of what gender you are, or what color you are, or what, you know, religion you are. Because the movie's also not just about
her. It's also about religion. It's
exactly.
about her trying to figure out... So
she fits in, yeah.
It's quite a simple story, Cole. You haven't seen it.
No, I haven't.
So it's literally just about this girl who is coming of age. So over the course of the movie, it's about her getting her period. It's about her having to kind of pick her religion or understand religion.
Yeah.
Because you get the sense that her mom, played by Rachel McAdams, came from a very strong Christian household. Her dad is Jewish.
Benny Safdie, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Of the Safdie brothers.
Yeah.
Great cast. And you get the sense that her grandparents on her mom's side, who were the Christians, kind of disowned the fact that this marriage happened.
Yeah.
And then the on the dad's side is the grandmother who she loves.
Yeah. And
who's very Jewish, who's played by...
Misery.
Kathy Bates.
Yeah,
Kathy Bates.
She's wonderful.
Oh my goodness, what a cast.
So she's the sort of cool cast. She's the cool grad.
Yeah.
And so a part of it, you know, and this was, I guess, important in the 70s, so perhaps this is what shows the difference, was like religion was important, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the 80s and 90s, we fought wars over religion. Like, now we don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
which is perhaps a good thing.
Yeah.
Some of the worst atrocities in history were over religion.
Yeah, exactly.
And so perhaps that's a good thing, that there's one less thing to divide us.
Yeah.
But yeah, just a lovable film. I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah.
And it's a great lazy weekend film. Mm.
And it's just heartwarming. Like, it's a great little movie because it also reminds you of what it was like being a teenager.
Yes.
Like, or about to become a teenager.
Yeah, and that fucking anxiety over it.
Yeah.
So that actually made me realize, like, the nice appetizing version of this adolescent time told through the perspective of a female is this movie.
Yeah.
Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Yeah.
Which is a reference to
her praying.
The art house but fucking amazing version of the same story is a film that myself and Cole watched in lockdown called Eighth Grade.
Eighth Grade is phenomenal. Bo Burnham.
Bo Burnham's
so
film.
Good.
It's like the Jesus
soundtrack. Oh my God.
Christ. Yeah. So these two films, if anyone is like a parent with your kid, like even if they're young, but approaching this age, it's like it should be subscribed watching.
Yeah.
So that you can, at whatever age you're having a kid, you can remember and just go back to what it felt like to be that. Where like a pool party in eighth grade is like this almost this like nightmare.
Yeah.
And you
want to impress the boy you like, and you don't want to swim with the girls.
But
and
just
the
anxiety, of her. So eighth grade is also just this coming of age story about a young girl who's very much in the new era.
Mm.
So it's all about like a lot of the scenes are her filming like TikToks.
Yeah.
So it's very aware of its current world, and it's about her going into middle school.
Yeah.
But just there are these scenes where like she goes to, she gets invited to a pool party, and just the nerves of her leaving the bathroom in her swimming costume to get to the pool, which for us is innocuous, right? We would just sort of jump in the pool, but for this young girl, it's like it plays out like this kind of anxiety ridden. Oh, it's done so well, and the director Bo Burnham, is a comedian. So it's amazing that he produced that super smart, like,
and sincere.
So sincere and in tune film. Eighth Grade was available on some streaming platforms. I don't think it was on Netflix at some point. I don't think it's there anymore. But Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret is just such a lovely thing. And so that's more of a female film, like with the mom as Rachel McAdams, and how you can help your daughter.
Mm.
Another one, which I loved, which is more the dad's relationship with the daughter.
Yeah, I love that as
is,
well.
Is the animated film that Netflix did
the Charlie Kaufman.
No. It's like it was presented like a fun family comedy. It's about the road trip of the family with the aliens.
Are you there, God? It's Me, Margaret. No, it's Meet the Mitchells.
Yes,
Meet,
that was fun as
Meet
well.
The
Animation
Mitchells.
Was so cool. Yeah.
Meet the Mitchells was so good.
Yeah,
and that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That came out of nowhere. Yeah, you at the premise, it's all about like aliens are invading, and this is a family on a road trip.
Yeah,
but at its heart, it's the secret sauce. It's
not called Meet the Mitchells. Bad video store. It's The Mitchells versus The Machines.
That's
unless
it.
Unless it has an alternative title reason.
Yeah. No, sorry. Okay, it's Mitchells versus The Machines. I like this three-way one guy Googling.
Three-way is always great.
Jamie, pull it up.
Mitchells versus The Machines is also just a film that has got so much heart because it's about the dad holding this family together while this... You know,
there's
an invasion happening, but it's more about him trying to craft a relationship with his daughter.
Yeah, totally. Great companion film for Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, is Judy Blume Forever. It's on Amazon Prime, and it's a documentary about the author.
Okay.
And it shows how important she is to so many kids, not just in the 70s, but now as well. Like how the book has like not aged a day because it's so relevant. I mean, it's about growing up. It's about like, I mean, one of the things I loved about the movie is that she's also praying because she's begging for her puberty to arrive because all her friends are getting their puberties. They're getting puberty first, you know, before her. So she's like dying for it. And like, that's one aspect. Like I remember as a kid where like your friend has hairy armpits now and you're like,
You notice like, that you don't have.
I definitely don't have. And
I was always the guy who had it first.
Yeah.
And then that made me feel self-conscious.
Yeah, you see, that's what the movie is so good at doing that is that it shows both sides of that. Like, oh,
wild.
Like, because for her, to get puberty means she can finally be normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
You have to remember as a parent that that kid like just wants to fit in. And that's exactly why when you people watching and you see a group of kids that are like teenagers, they're all wearing the same shoes. They're all wearing the same thing. They look like clones because it's like everyone is just so desperately wanting to not be different.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I remember once, well, in the noughties, do you remember those? Well, I'm kind of got a pair on now, but we had really oversized shoes.
They're like the Spice Girl.
Kind of like platforms for the boys. They're but like they were like shoes. Wide cheeky shoes.
Like Osiris shoes. The skateboarding shoes.
You're talking about skateboarding shoes. Yeah.
Yes. And I remember my dad and I were just walking around and we got a pair. And I was like, I think I want to get one of these shoes because I've seen everyone wearing them. And then I got home. My mother was like, you are not wearing those. And I'm like, why? It's like, because you're just wearing that to fit in with everyone else. That's the only reason. That's not you.
Yeah.
Michelle.
And I was like, fine, you're right.
I just love the fact that that was all the rage in skateboarding and it inspired that dress culture.
Yeah.
Mostly exacerbated by bands like Blink-182 would sort of dress in skateboarding
clothes.
Linkin
Park and, yeah.
But they were these big shoes that the thought was you needed padding because you were skateboarding. Yeah. And so you needed these like big, almost like
chunky shoes,
clown-looking shoes. But then we're at this point now with skateboarding where they've gone back to like very thin, like Vans shoes that don't have any of that padding because you skateboard better with it.
Yeah, Converse. Yeah, no, exactly.
It's interesting that there was that time of like chunky big shoes. I remember that.
What a weird era, hey?
I know. It's
early
so
2000s,
strange.
Late 90s, so weird.
I had a very strange thought, which I think you two of all people would appreciate. Any film made in the like early part of cell phones is unfortunately completely dated now, right? So like in My Best Friend's Wedding, Julia Roberts is at the table. She's got this little clutch bag.
Yeah.
She opens it and the whole clutch is what's housing the big fucking Motorola phone that she takes out. Like there's no space for anything
out.
You got to pull the area out, flap open the thing that had no technology in the flap.
Yeah.
So there was no point in the flap.
Yeah. Just protect the buttons or something.
Perhaps, yeah, exactly.
But you're like, this immediately dates it, right? Yeah. Which I guess is cool.
It's like the Kelly Rowland music video with XL.
She pulls out XL and
responds to him and everyone's like, no wonder he's not replying. He's sending him a message on XL.
Yeah, it's so funny. But since the iPhone, the normal, you know, the last 7 or 8 versions of an iPhone look pretty much the same.
Yeah, they do.
And so those films will never be dated because they just look like iPhones.
They just all have that black mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about the iPhone, like sorry, changing things.
Just a weird thought.
No, getting into anthropology. It's great. Talking about...
This is anthropology.
It is. Yeah, dude. Films are... Art is life. Life is art. Talking about the iPhone changing things.
Yes.
Yeah. We've got wisdom here at the video store. Is how disappointing the phone BlackBerry was.
I loved
BlackBerry. Really?
Yeah, I thought
because
it was great.
I love the story. Like, the story is interesting. The idea that you can be at a party and say, this is what happened to BlackBerry.
Yeah.
But the characters and the story of it.
Really?
Bernthal? What's the lead
actor?
Burachel.
I think it's... Well, Jamie, Google that for us. I'll do it now.
Cole, call it up. no, the main, one of the main dudes in the BlackBerry film was one of the guys from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
He played an arsehole.
Yeah, he played the CEO. Yeah, he's...
He played like
so
the Justin Timberlake
that.
Of the social network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
But like way angrier.
There's
Jay Baruchel.
There we go.
Yeah, Jay Baruchel.
I've heard it being pronounced Jay Baruchel.
Okay, we all. Wow. I said Baruchel.
Baruchel.
he's the skinny guy from Knocked Up.
Yeah, he was in This Is the End as well. Yeah,
and he was also very good in She's Out of Your League, or she's
can't remember, man.
He led a romantic comedy where he dated like a very attractive woman, and it was all about her being too good for him.
Oh, yeah. He seems like one of those actors from that era, you know what I mean? He was in This Is the End as well.
Yeah. He's lovely.
No, he's cool.
I made the mistake of watching that movie high.
This Is the End?
Yeah, for the first time. My friend was like, dude, let's get high and watch. You haven't watched This Is the End? Let's watch This Is the End. And then I was just like, it felt so long, and you're just watching Jonah Hill get raped by a demon. Yeah. It's like, this is the longest scene in the world.
Yeah,
no, that was very fun.
It was a great movie.
And Emma Watson being like a crazy badass, and Michael Cera being a like a creepy dude who like smacks Rihanna's bum.
And Channing Tatum is like a gimp at the end of it. Yeah, yeah. Remember that?
No, this is a good film. Yeah. I've got a solid recommendation for a very easy to digest TV show. Sometimes we don't want anything too dark or complicated or intricate, but also in the same time, you don't want something that's too mind meltingly stupid.
Yeah.
On Disney Plus is a show called Tracker.
Okay.
It's the dude who is the main guy is the handsome dude from This Is Us. Did you watch This Is Us?
Oh, yes,
he's got a jawline.
The dad, right?
The guy who was the famous movie star, like the famous guy from This Is Us.
This Is Us. Okay, cool. Yeah.
So he's a very handsome man. Mm. And
look at his jawline. That is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And the premise of the show is that he's like effectively a bounty hunter, but he's more like he looks for missing people.
Okay.
So people will pay a reward for someone.
Yeah.
But it's the good kind. It's not like he would help a family like find their missing son.
Mm.
Maybe the son's got caught up in something, or maybe the kid got kidnapped.
Yeah.
Or someone went camping and they got lost. And so each episode is a different story of him, and he travels the country in his truck and his caravan, so to speak. And lots of heart.
Cool, man.
Lots of heart.
How many episodes are there?
It's sort of like 6 or 7.
It's like new, hey? Like
yeah, it's a new show.
Sick,
yeah. Yeah, and it's just one of those like, this is nice. This is good.
Like there's sometimes like last night when you got back from like dinner, we wanted to like just put something casual on.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, because like I don't want overly serious movies or like overly series. Like I want to put on the Say I Do's of the world, you know?
Yes. Have you watched Say I Do's? Yeah. Have you watched it since
not,
I said?
Not yet. We're waiting for the optimal time to cry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, like I love a good show where you can just put it on. It's nice. You're invested, but like you're not.
Yeah,
you know, it's like it sounds like a good like viewing experience. So I'll definitely check it out. Mm.
Yeah, lovely, man.
Talking about very unserious movies, have you heard that there's going to be a Naked Gun reboot
with Liam Neeson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
They're doing that.
Of course, Liam Neeson's still alive. Come on.
You're thinking of Leslie Nielsen.
So they're also rebooting Scary Movie. They're doing Scary Movie 6. And the thing is, like, I'm probably going to be in the minority here or, like, amongst our listeners or whatever, but I never found Scary Movie good or funny.
No, that is the majority, I'm afraid.
The best spoof movie, because the early 2000s spoof era was terrible, in my opinion. Late 90s,
Not Another Teen Movie was the one that kind of, like,
that's the only one I loved. That one was a good one because it was the first one. Yeah, and then the spoof movies of the Leslie Nielsen era, A Naked Gun, Clear and Present Day. Spy Hard. Clear and Present Danger.
Dead and Loving It.
Love Dracula Dead and Loving It. And, like, I mean, of course, Airplane.
I was
in the
about
70s.
To say Airplane, yeah.
But, like, I'm interested to see how they're going to do spoof movies now. You know
in
what I mean?
In an era where, like, being meta has become really popular and overdone.
Yeah, so, like, I'll be interesting because, I mean, that early 2000s era of those kinds of comedies weren't particularly funny to me. No. It was all just, I love a good fart joke, and, you know, but, like, those ones just we're very immature, you know.
Yeah,
But yeah, like, I mean, this new scary movie, I think they're just going to spoof A24 movies. It's just going to be nonstop. Midsommar, Hereditary, all these movies, you know.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
Yeah.
Can I do some shameless self-promotion?
Yes.
Every year on Star Wars Day, May the 4th, we screen Spaceballs.
Yes.
Which I've never seen.
Which is also one of the like original parody films. This was from like the 80s.
It's jammed. Raspberry jam.
Yeah. I've seen it, but I can't remember all the jokes.
They're combing the sands. They actually got a giant comb and they're combing the sands.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We used to rent that on video as a kid so often.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spaceballs. May 4th. Be there.
And we are doing a re-release of episode one.
Oh,
so
cool.
Episode one is celebrating 25 years.
Ugh.
And it's going back into cinemas, and we're one of the cinemas that's going to host it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Be there.
Be there.
I think I just started high school.
Oh, wow.
When episode one came out. And yeah. It was an experience to watch in cinema. It was amazing to see that underwater world and just seeing the size of it. It was,
they're called the Gungans.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
They're called the Gungans on the planet of Naboo.
No, like
to me that was the movie.
Was that 1999 or 2000 for us?
1999.
I remember like it was a big deal because
The delays were so huge.
Yes.
They were like 6 months.
It only came to South Africa in 2000.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure because my good buddy had come to Joburg and I was now in high school and I was introducing him to my high school friends that I just made.
Okay.
And we all went to watch Star Wars together.
Yeah.
So like I know it was the start.
25th of June 1999.
Yeah, but for us?
We got
South Africa.
Oh, really? Okay, that's crazy.
That's what Google says.
Yo, I don't remember because I distinctly remember being in the third grade when that came out.
No, I think you're seeing the international release date.
It says South Africa.
No, I know, but I think you're wrong.
Yeah.
First fight.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It only made $209,000 in South Africa.
Wow.
So Cole's information clearly is wrong.
So, but like the big deal for me as well, because I mean, you obviously, I don't know when you got into Star Wars. Like it was like the early 90s.
That was probably the start.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it was the sequels.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd seen them, but I think I only got into it later.
Yeah, for me, I don't know, Cole. I feel like Cole's got a similar journey. But like, I remember seeing the re-releases.
Of 97.
97 with the weird special effects added in and the weird scenes with Jabba.
Which is the version I know.
Yeah, exactly. And that's sad. Like, I remember we watched those when they came out because I think they released them periodically, one every year or something.
Yeah, it was something like
that. Yeah, and I remember we got the VHS tapes and we like watched them obsessively. And then, of course, 2 years later, episode one is coming out. We're like, what is happening? This is crazy. Let's go do this.
Yes.
And yeah, blew our minds, man.
I remember going to see Empire, but that was 97, so I would have been 6. And I felt like I was, I don't know, I missed it. Like,
yeah.
I have a blurred vision of it, but it didn't catch me there.
Yeah.
It was episode one that made me go apeshit, and I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure it's still the film I've watched most of my life. Like,
really?
Over 100 times.
It was also smart that you had this main character that was a young guy.
Yeah.
So that a lot of young kids were like,
let's not use the word smart to describe the Phantom Menace.
Well, I'm saying it's the one thing that was smart. But I've realized that I've opened up a can of worms, which I would like to close now.
Yeah, close it.
I know that
we're not gonna start.
If left alone.
I'm going to show you how well I can quote that movie.
I'm gonna come back like next week and Cole's still going to be talking about
it. Liking these. No, it's terrible.
Lack of my guys. Is there anything else any one of us are dying to talk about? Because otherwise, I think we need to.
I think for the last 2 weeks, I've wanted to talk about Three Body Problem on Netflix.
Okay, we have brought it up. Can we talk a bit more about it?
Okay, cool. I didn't know. I can't remember us bringing it up.
You brought it up.
My memory is so bad, dude. I'm sorry.
Are you sticking with it?
I finished it. Okay, I binged it.
I think you've mentioned this.
Yeah, and I haven't binged something in a while.
Did you enjoy it?
And I was hooked from the beginning. A lot of people say they aren't hooked by it. They're not like getting it because it's very like it's too large of a concept in terms of science. But I enjoy stuff that's about metaphysics and quantum physics and the discrepancies. And
I think it's a very smart show in that regard.
Yes,
yeah.
And it does start to become a bit convoluted, but they get into like the conspiracy theory thriller side of it really quickly, which is great. The cast is amazing. But basically, do you know what the premise is?
Yes.
We did discuss
we
this
have,
last
we
time.
We have spoken about this. This is coming back to you now. But yeah, it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Three Body Problem. It's the guys behind Game of Thrones.
Mm.
This is their next foray into cinema.
It's part of their Netflix deal.
I've read the book.
Oh, really?
I'm about to start the third book.
Oh, yeah. No ways.
So, I like the it's interesting that you say not a lot of people were hooked, because the first book, like, I love the concept. It's so cool.
Yes.
Like, the whole idea, and it's hardcore sci-fi, like, proper hardcore. And, like, the thing that, like, the series does for me well is, attempting to do at least. For me, I didn't feel real emotional connection to the characters in the first book, at least, right?
Okay.
And it can be very cold, for me at least. Like, it's very, like sci-fi, this, you know, like we're talking at you about these are the
concepts.
This is how it all works and stuff. And like one thing that the series is doing is I've noticed that they've split up all the scientist characters are a combination of one or two characters in the book, right? So like they've split them up across several people because there's a character in the book, the main guy, he doesn't really, at least I don't know if he's comes back in the third book or whatever, but he's only in the first book. So that character split up across multiple scientists in the show. Those guys, all the friends. You
so
know
they've
what
made
I mean?
They've made it more of an ensemble in the show.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's needed in the way in which a book or text is translated into film, because sometimes, you know, you can get so much nuance when you are in the thought or in the mind of a character on a page, but you sometimes need that to be more physical people.
Yeah, more digestible.
Tangible.
Exactly. So, like, the whole vibe of that is, like, you know, the book. I found the video game VR stuff a bit cheesy.
In the series.
When they put on the helmet.
Yeah, like, it always, like, felt, like, corny to me. Because also, like, I do a lot of, this probably affected my opinion as well when I was reading it. But, like, sometimes when I drive to catch up on my reading, I do the audiobooks.
Yeah.
And I hated the narration of the book. This guy, like,
I know, if there's a bad narrator.
So, like, it kind of made those scenes a bit cheesy for me. So, watching it again, I was just reminiscing the trauma he put me through in my car. But, I mean, the follow-up book is phenomenal. And, like, the show, towards the end, starts taking material from the second book, which I think was a good move.
Okay.
And where it's heading, if the show goes anywhere near where the book is going, it's going to be really fucking cool.
Do you know what's a nice little gem that sort of unfortunately came and went is the film on Amazon called The Tomorrow War with Chris Pratt.
I never watched it
because of the title.
It's a lot better than you think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
And the basic premise is imagine the Super Bowl now, and all of a sudden this portal opens in the middle of the game, when the halftime game, and a soldier walks through this portal and says, guys, there's a war coming, and we need you now. We need more buddies. We need more people to help.
Yeah.
And so people go into the future to fight a war.
Mm.
And Chris Pratt's there, and there's a little bit of an interstellar-ness.
Yeah,
to
for
it.
Sure. Okay. So a lot better than...
It's a lot better than you think.
Okay, cool.
But, Okies, we got to... I think we got to go home now.
Really?
we've been talking a lot of good cack. Oh, I've got something I need to fetch from my car. Perrin.
Yeah?
You're the newbie.
Okay.
You got to help me. Okay. All right. Can you help me carry?
Yes.
Cole, we're going to be about 10 minutes.
That's fine.
Can you man the shop?
I can man the shop, of course. I've worked here for 2 years.
Okay. All right. We'll see you now.
Cool.
Cheers.
Have fun. Oh, my word. You're Sholto Copley.
Last time I checked, how's it?
How's it, Sholto? I assume you're here in the country to promote Boy Kills World, eh?
No, I'm actually with this friend of mine. I'm gonna rent out all my movies and just brag about like how many of my movies are actually still on DVD.
Hectic. Yeah, I don't know if we have DVDs It's like shifted more to Blu-ray.
See, this is what happens when you improv. When you improv badly, you're trying to keep me on the Bond girl's world, and now I'm like spewing it down a different way. See, now you're also going down a different way.
Test me.
Now we're going to end up on our DVDs. We're going to make a great scene. It's not going to be in the edit because we diverted too much. What I should have said is, "Yo, how's it, man? I'm here to promote Bond girl's world."
Oh, that's fantastic. And
nice to meet you. What's your name?
My name is Cole.
Oh, nice to meet you, Cole.
Yeah, I've been working at the video store here for 2 years. It's been wonderful. Yeah.
I'm glad video stores still exist.
I don't know how we're still in business, to be honest.
I don't know how you're in business either, but the magic of the movies has you in business. So let's keep going with this.
Exactly. You got to keep making it happen. And talking about magic of movies, you just shot this film in Cape Town, right?
I did, yes.
Okay. And
I did. It's one of like 300 people. We did, yeah.
Fantastic. And I mean, I don't know a lot about the history in terms of all the nuances, the locations that you shot in like recently in past films, but has it been a while since you've shot an essay?
Not really. I shot something for The Witcher last year.
Okay.
And then before that, I shot Beast. So I shoot here quite a lot. I shot that movie Beast with Idris Elba. I don't know if you have that on DVD.
Yeah, we have it.
Looks like you do. Yeah, I'll sign it for you if you like. So I love shooting here. I shoot as often as I can, and they don't put me in here. I mean, none of those projects are South African stories. They're all just shooting here because they happen to be shooting here. So I end up being in them and happen to be shooting here.
Right. It's just like a pure coincidence.
Hmm.
Okay. When we get guests here, we like to try to find a movie for you to rent. Okay. Usually we have a whole bunch of questions, but I think what I would like to know is, what have you been watching recently? Is there anything on the shelf that like stands out to you as something that you'd like to rent again, like a favorite or anything like that, that more people should be watching?
Well, honestly, the only thing that I think more people should be watching is South Park, because they are basically the last people on earth that's still making material that has any kind of proper edge or human. Actually, that's not true. Curb Your Enthusiasm, not toot my own horn because I happen to be in the last season.
Oh, wow.
But Curb Your Enthusiasm as a TV show is actually also a show that can actually have a sense of humor about things. But other than those, like, you know, the sense of humor is really dying in our industry, and it's kind of depressing.
Mm. Like, it's actually, we watched The Fall Guy last night in a pre-screener, and we had quite a lot of fun like laughing at a movie again, because it felt like the comedies and the humor are a little bit dry lately. And luckily you are talking to a South Park fan.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So then I will definitely go see Fall Guy because it's been a dry spell for comedy. Everybody's terrified. You can't laugh at anything.
Right.
Everything's offensive.
That's kind of that's a space you play in really well.
Yeah, and South Park's just going, like, they just gave them nearly $1 billion to keep making more, you know? So you're like, well, guys, I mean, clearly there's an audience and there's money, but somehow you can only do it if you grandfathered in. The other guys, there's one other show. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, fantastic.
They still keep going. So Charlie Day is a good friend of mine, and they're able to do it, but they sort of grandfathered in South Park and them and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm.
All come from, you know, over a decade ago, where you could still be funny and not be canceled.
Right. So where's the new content that is that funny and is that daring, right?
I don't see it.
Yeah, we need to kind of retaliate against, I understand the culture, but like that's what makes South Park so much fun to watch, is that it's great satire, right?
Can't laugh. If you can't laugh at your pain and you take it so seriously and your ego is so, you know, in your little bubble of what you think you are, you're going to be here for like a flash in the pan of eternity.
Right.
It's like, I'm not feeling you're being hurt. It's like, guys, you've got to get a different perspective, man.
Totally.
We need to step back a little bit and not let these things take us over so much.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we tend to get quite personal on the show, at least from our side. And I talk about my boyfriend quite a lot on the podcast. And we talk about how he's a bit of a lefty and I tease him a lot for it, for all the little nuances that we get into conversations about. And it's so cool to like engage in that kind of stuff more intellectually with him and seriously. But then I go watch South Park and I see them standing in the middle. I think they said this. They stand in the middle of the aisle, the political aisle, so to speak, and they point at both sides and laugh, right?
I mean, that's the problem. Is that even that? Now you're starting to get like Republican-funded movies and Democrat-funded movies. I'm like, guys, when did art get hijacked by like a camp that I'm supposed to be in.
No, exactly.
Like, I do characters. And I'm like, I do interesting characters. I like adventure into art. Art is supposed to be like brave and a little bit unsettling to people, and like show people mirrors to themselves and to our society in various ways, and make people think and question and deal with tough things sometimes in its most profound way, you know, and move you. To start getting into a situation where it's like, are we making propaganda or are we making like art? Are we trying to...
Yeah, what's the truth of your story, man?
You know, I'm not interested. People try and get me into like a political box or something. I'm like, I'm not interested. I'm an artist. Like, I'm not going to join your...
Yeah.
Of this or particular issue, and this is the thing. It's like humans are complicated and tragic and amazing, and beautiful and monstrous.
That's fantastic.
You know, and kind and compassionate but evil. I mean, I've got this theory that all human problems are basically down to how we monkeys trying to be gods. I have a movie that I'm working on with that.
That's stunning.
And it's like we have monkey parts to ourselves that we don't really see very often. We have godlike parts to ourselves. We're wrestling with that. We're striving for it. Yeah, we're striving for something. So the striving's great, you know, but can we please not take humor out while we strive? I don't know.
No, I mean, what's the point of living if you can't laugh at yourself and at other people? We need to laugh at each other because we're all here doing the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
Your character in Boy Kills World, you were talking about, I think you said recently now in the interview that you enjoy the humor, you enjoy the fun. And it got me thinking of your character in the film as being someone as particularly humorous and like had a lot of the laughs in the movie that I quite enjoyed, and a big laugh actually, which was really refreshing. Is that usually the kind of character that kind of attracts you? And also politically, that character is quite interesting, right? It's quite like careless, doesn't care a lot for human life. What compelled you about this character?
I mean, honestly, it was just a chance to get involved in a movie that was being funded by South Africans, which has never happened. The budget level of this movie, I'm not allowed to say, but it's proper Hollywood type of money.
Damn.
We've never had that in a South African budget.
Damn.
Ever. Like, no South African company has ever put this much money in a movie, ever, as far as I'm aware.
That is incredible.
And so... It's not a South African movie, creatively. It's a Hollywood film. It's a, you know, generic city comic book style movie, video game style movie.
Mm.
But it was amazing to see that it was South African producers, South African money. I was very keen just on that basis alone. Then I was like, this is an entertaining character. It's not a massive character in the movie. It's like, just come in, do something fun for the audience and get out, you know, come work a few days in Cape Town. I was like, I'm in. I'll come do that and support you guys. And it's obvious, you know. I think I didn't think about it much. I was like, I love playing a range of different characters. I've been fortunate enough to do that. And I was like, this is definitely a guy who's kind of like your sleazy politician. I mean, to be honest, there's even an element of actors in the guy, people in Hollywood where it's like, I put on this face and I love everyone, and you know, but the truth is more complicated. But then he's also a little bit more complicated as well, you know?
Exactly.
He's kind of starts to talk about what his therapist told him, and all of that's true. And humans are complicated again, you know? So I think, I mean, he's very much a politician, and I'm not generally a fan of politicians, you know, to be honest. But I do think, I'm sure a lot of them have good intentions, and they're trying in difficult systems.
Yes.
But then their egos get involved, and then this power gets involved, and then money gets involved. And the difficulties of actually making any change in massive systems get involved. It's complicated, man. I think we shouldn't be so quick to judge everybody.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem with what we're talking about with modern kind of, I suppose, audience that is like, or it's the studios like pandering to that, but like being afraid of that, right?
South Park just did the Pandaverse. It was amazing. I was just like, you guys, I love you. Have you seen the Pandaverse?
I haven't seen the Pandaverse.
Oh my God. Go and watch the Pandaverse as soon as we get off this podcast.
Okay, stunning. Stunning. I'm going to go for it. So I think we have to wrap up pretty soon because I know you have to talk to other people. So what we can do is we can rent you South Park. Maybe we don't have the Pandaverse yet, but we can rent you South Park, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and Curb Your Enthusiasm, which I haven't had a reason to watch up until now. So you're the person that's recommended that to me, which is really cool.
Yes.
I'm excited. And do you want to see if I should go dust off District 9 out there in the in the, like, see if it's on DVD there still.
Definitely, definitely see if you still got that Blu-ray, because the Blu-ray and the DVD have the behind the scenes on.
Okay.
Which you can't get. As you see, the behind the scenes is why you want to go.
It's always the best part of having DVDs, dude. Like, I'm not going to find that on YouTube. Like, I'm not going to think of searching for it. Exactly.
You're going to be searching. You're not going to see it on Netflix. You're not going to see the behind the scenes.
Damn it, man.
That's why I'm here.
Exactly.
Real film love can keep coming to these shops. So
if I can, like, thank you. If I can, like, tempt one more little question, because it's one of my favorites to ask people. When you were younger, what was the film, as in a child, your first favorite film that you can think of? I know mine was The Lion King and a terrible Kung Fu Kangaroo movie, but I'm not going to get into that. What was yours when you were younger?
I saw two on the same day. My aunt took me to a cinema in Victoria, and I saw Superman 2 and The Gods Must Be Crazy. And it's amazing, actually, that I saw The Gods Must Be Crazy as one of my first movies. I can't remember which one was, whether it was Superman or Gods Must Be Crazy, in the cinema. Mixed up later when I spoke, I'd be like, Superman through the Coke bottle and da-da-da-da, because I was like 6 or 7 or whatever I was. And but it's kind of awesome. I've got a Gods Must Be Crazy poster in my house in L.A. And it was kind of amazing to make District 9, because since Gods Must Be Crazy, nothing had gone into the pop culture to that degree.
Right.
And District 9 came along.
That's such a good point. That
Americans knew about. You know, Gavin made Tsotsi, which was an amazing movie, but it didn't go quite into pop culture in the way, you know, from a box office point of view, that Gods Must Be Crazy did and District 9 did. And so it was crazy in that sense that it was the first movie I saw, you know, one of the first two.
That is really special. I didn't think of that. That is amazing. Yeah, because District 9 is the one, like, we also think of locally. And it's that little moment that, like, I can speak for most South Africans that I know, when we see your name in a poster and we're like, there's that guy. We're, like, super proud of him, you know? So it's really great, Sholto.
Yeah, it was very special to, you know, to be able to do a film like that, like District 9, and be part of something that's that, just where the stars align for you.
Yeah.
Like, miraculous. It really was just the fact that I could end up in the movie and that it worked. And yeah, just that it was a generation later than Morris Vayez's, you know, Gods Must Be Crazy. And to be in that company was fun. It was an honor.
Yeah. It's a cool badge for you to have, right? It's a little badge of honor.
Yeah.
And for us.
And it shows you how hard it is to do. It shows you how hard it is to be in a country where you'd make it. It's like the guys made in Brazil, made City of God, you know, that gets out there. There's the odd movie that can sort of, you know, travel the world. But it's very hard to do if you try the English-speaking world, you know, if you're trying to go after that and you're not part of that world. You're not a European English-speaking, you know, country, not a European country, or not England, or somewhere in the UK, or America.
Yes.
You know, so to get the attention of the world is not easy, not an easy thing to do, you know. You're lucky when it works.
Well, Sholto, thank you so much for your time and popping over to the video store. It was an incredible surprise to have you here. And yeah, all the best with your future, man. We're really proud of you.
Thanks very much. Can I just ask, though, Bruce? Sorry, I bought like 500 credits, but I've only used like 52. And I know this is kind of awkward.
Yeah.
But I don't, honestly, I'm like really connected in the industry. And you know, because I'm Sholto Copley and all, I know you guys, your days are numbered. Would you mind refunding me, because I'm not going to be able to use all those credits?
I think, Sholto, the credits have expired, dude. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not the boss.
It just works that way.
Yeah, it just works that way.
Okay, that's no problem. I mean, that's fine. I understand. I mean, it's not, I feel it's a little dodgy, but it wasn't your fault that you're going to get taken out. So thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sholto. All the best, man.
Okay.
Bye. Yes,
bye.
All right, everything fine?
Guys.
What?
You guys were gone, and Sholto Copley was here.
You're what? Lying.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, the District 9 guy.
The sweetie man.
Fucking prawn.
That prawn.
Sholto Copley.
Here comes the sweetie man.
He came into the video.
Here comes the sweetie man. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, he came into the store.
No ways.
What did he want?
He was here to, like, promote Comic-Con in Cape Town. and also the movie Boy Kills World. We spoke a little bit about that.
Oh my god, I can't believe I missed
you
it.
Phone?
I can't believe
you. No, you were carrying stuff. I assumed your hands would be full. How are you going to answer your phone?
I assumed your hands would be full. Okay. Russell, are you going to just take this?
Yeah. No, it happens. Interesting. Amazing people walk into the video store all the time. It just happened to happen while we were away. All right, guys. Thanks for a lovely day.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was fun.
And thank you for everyone who's listening. As you know, you are listening to a Tuesday episode, which is a Clerks episode where all of us here at the video store are chatting behind the counter. But don't forget that there is another episode that's going to come out this week, and that's going to be on Thursday, which is our guest episode where interesting people are going to pop in to rent something. And this week, we are going to have the filmmakers behind the film Just Now, Jeffrey, which is coming to cinemas, including the Bioscope, from the 3rd of May.
Okay.
So we're going to have Hilton Tannenbaum, who is a great director, and Brett Morris, who also has co-directed this with him. And it's a great, fun film. And it should be a great chat, because these are dudes that have been in the industry for many years. So that's going to be on Thursday. All right, guys. I'll see you soon.
Great.
Cheers.
Cheerio.
Bye.